Good evening and welcome to the Radio Ranch. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this June 27th, almost the end of June 2024. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch tonight. We have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call, and do our best to take your call tonight. Little rain and lightning all around, but it's been a beautiful day today. Green grass, the birds are out, the mosquitoes are sure out, so I got to spray for them. But it's been a beautiful day here. Been down working at the print shop a little bit. We'll bring you up to date on what's going on there. But let's go to our Heavenly Father first in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you have given to us, this time that you have made for us to be here, Lord, for a time such as this. Lord, everything that you have done in our lives, Lord, the good and the bad, Lord, when we followed you and when we've fallen short, Lord, they have all come together for this time that we are in right now. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this time that you give us, our families, our children, our friends and family, our church members, Lord, our people in our communities, Lord, that are in dire need. Help us to answer your call, Lord, to share your goodness and your mercy, your truth, your law with them. Thank you, Lord. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would be with me and strengthen me, O Lord. Give me the thoughts to think, the words to say, Lord, to encourage your people. And, Lord, for it to put a smile on your face, to be a blessing to you. Thank you for this time, for all that that is here today. We pray for this day and tomorrow as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the debate, I guess, just fired up as well. It's 7 o'clock Mountain, 9 o'clock Eastern, so I guess they're starting. So maybe that's what everybody's watching. I was going to, but, you know, it just is what it is. I'll wait till tomorrow and get the highlights. And I do encourage you, as I do my best anyway, as the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy. When he wrote to Timothy and said, I urge you first of all then to pray for kings and those in authority. Pray for those. You know, God desires them to come to the truth. And we are to pray for those people. We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for godly leaders. I try to incorporate that into my daily prayers, to pray for godly leaders, local and state and national and for those that will repent, that can turn to God, that they would, that God would protect them and call them to listen to His leading and to make decisions that that would honor Him and honor their neighbors. And you know, I also pray that for those that are just the rod of correction in his hand, as Nebuchadnezzar was, that he would hold them, that they would not destroy us, that they could only go so far, just as God only allows them to go so far, like he allows the sea to only go so far, and that God would certainly bring correction, but not destroy us. And that those enemies of ours and enemies of his would fall into the pit that they dig. And but we need to be praying, good, bad, or indifferent. We need to be praying and obeying the word. It allows us to be, when we do that, we are doers of the word and not hearers only. So regardless of your political affiliation, we are to pray, as the word says. And when you read that, I encourage you to read it there in First Timothy. It's so that we can lead a quiet and tranquil life. Okay? It's so that you can lead a quieter and more tranquil life if you pray for leaders. Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. That sounds like a good investment, a good return on that investment. To pray for your leaders, it says, for all men, especially kings and those in authority, that they would be guided and led and directed. And, you know, I'm seeing locally. We've had, I think I've mentioned it a time or two, but our local school boards, there are Christians, there are believers that are running for the local school board. And there are Christians, believers, running for the county commissioner positions that are open this year. And there are Christians, believers, that are running for city council here in our little town. I know our brother Patrick has mentioned several times out in his town, out in Minnesota, that's happened. And I know that it has all over. And I know, you know, Remnant, that we have Christians in the sheriff's departments and the police departments and the military and the fire and all over. We are to pray for them. Pray that they are protected, that they are given opportunities as well. We are all growing, and we all have that upon us. So I do encourage you. The thought occurred to me that, you know, with the debate going on right now, the presidential debate, that we need to be praying for our leaders. And you know, God answers our prayers. He does. If we have no unconfessed sin between us and God, if we've confessed our sin and are doing our best to lead a godly life, to follow Him, then He hears and answers our prayers. So says the Word. It's not that my prayers are anything special, but it's the Word of God that says that, and it's the Word that we can fall back on and trust. It's the only trust that we can have today, is to trust in that Word, because He is faithful. So anyway, lots going on. Boy, the flooding. I spoke with Brother Paul last night just before the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he had seen quite a bit flooding across Minnesota, Iowa. Lots of farmland. I saw this, a couple of reports I printed today, this Rapidan Dam, I guess, that failed. Even April of last year was classified as being in poor condition, and the hazard potential as significant. So for this dam to fail, that's nothing new. We knew it was coming. Last year, over a year ago, they knew that it was in bad shape, and that's one of many across the land that are that way. In fact, I saw a different report that said most of the dams and the spillways and the waterways and the flood controls and things like that in this nation are a significant hazard potential. Well, why is that? We've had these, they've been in, some of them, since the 50s, and they've just worked fine. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that, about the how, the why, and the what, the why, and the how, because this is one of the hows and the whys does this happen. It says, Iowa residents needed rescue from record-setting flooding that has swamped parts of the state, covered buildings up to their rooftops, shut down major roads, disrupted basic services like electricity and drinking water. How'd you like to be there in the heartland, right there in the middle of the country here, land of the free and home of the brave, and you're flooded out? You have no electricity, no drinking water. Said these are record floods. It's been since 93, almost 30 years, over 30 years. Since they've seen this type of flooding. Pulled down a train bridge connecting North Sioux City, South Dakota with Sioux City, Iowa. And I saw saw a video, I think it was at night, they showed that. They had blocked it off, and it pulled the bridge right down. report here says businesses are shuttered, main streets have been impacted, hospitals, nursing homes, other care facilities evacuated over the weekend. Just continuing on. Rains, South Dakota, airport received more than 7 inches. It said 11 inches fell in Rock Rapids, Iowa, just to the east of that. And says here over an inch fell in 15 minutes. That's pretty floody. You get an inch of rain in 15 minutes. It cannot absorb that fast. It has nowhere to go but to group up and then to flood. And the report here says the heaviest rain has been concentrated in northwestern Iowa. And parts of northeastern Iowa will see up to an inch by this next Monday. All that water eventually drains into the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers. Flooding expected along those big rivers as well. And and you know, I mention it tonight because I have seen nothing in the media about this. I've seen nothing on Fox News. I get, you know, news feeds out here from Laramie News going on, but they also have a national feed. Nothing. And, you know, but boy, you hear about the, you know, what Hollywood's doing. You hear about what Kevin Costner's doing out there in Hollywood and Katy Perry and the great debate going on. And I just mentioned this, Remnant, not that we are glued to the TV set, not that we look to the media for the information, because you can't. You have to, well, like one of the songs, the news behind the news, right? You have to kind of dig a little deeper and go look at some of the, you know, some of the local stories to find out what's going on. But it's devastation in the middle of the state, in the middle of the country. Flooding like they've never seen. Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska. Says here, these record high levels to new extremes for the next couple weeks at least. And so it's really just starting, is what the weather forecasters are saying. And this was updated at 3:40 p.m. this afternoon. Also, severe thunderstorms, tornadoes will extend from New Mexico to North Dakota by late today and tomorrow. Colorado, Montana, North Dakota expecting numerous severe thunderstorms, wind gusts of 60 to 70 miles an hour, hail and tornadoes. Emergencies in St. Paul, Minnesota because of the flooding. Monsoon-like conditions persisting over the Four Corners region, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico. And I have seen those forecasts. That's just a few hours south of us. And then it's not just down in the Southwest or the Midwest. Up in the Northeast, it says 160,000 homes and businesses in Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania remained without power Thursday after a wall of storms slammed the area Wednesday. Trees and power lines, and had a brother in Michigan send me some pictures and video of that very thing in Michigan. Why? Why do we... It's, you know, that term record-setting is just like a broken record. And I explained that broken record to my son the other day, because, you know, we don't have record players. We don't have the LPs, the records that we used to have. But I explained it to him that, you know, when you had an old record player with a needle, and if you had the record went bad, you had a scratch or a groove or something in it, and you were playing it, the needle would stick in that spot, and it would play. It'd be like a broken record. It'd play the same thing over and over and over again. And that's what I explained to him. That's what we're seeing with these record catastrophes. Whether it's record floods that we're seeing in the news today. Oh, we haven't seen anything like this in over 30 years. Had record fires already in Texas. right? The biggest fire Texas had ever seen. Second biggest in the continental United States this year, early this year. Had record fires in Nebraska, record fires over in Cheyenne. I'm expecting, record fires in California again. Because we've seen it almost every year. Things that are out of the ordinary. It's not just, we've been out here 2001, so right at 23 years. Been on the fire department out here since 2002, so that's going on, 21 years. And we used to have a fire season. You know, it was about May to August or September. You'd get ready for it. You'd train up for it, get in shape, get your vehicles ready. And it was like that everywhere. We'd send people out to Nebraska or Washington or California, wherever, for the fire season. Well, just in the last 20 years, see, that has changed to where it's just all year. And we see this with the flooding as well. And as Brother Paul mentioned Wednesday night, last night at the prayer meeting, a lot of this land is farmland. Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota. This is farmland that is flooding, folks. Not good flooding that brings good silt like on the Mississippi Delta that grows more corn and soybeans. No, flooding that brings houses and log jams and piles it up 20 feet deep. Things like that. Well, I mention that because these are the newest Bible prophecies coming true. And if you care to look at Deuteronomy 28, got a couple verses I want to share with you tonight. And I hope, Remnant, that you're more familiar with Deuteronomy 28 than you probably want to be. But we need to be, because we need to point these prophecies about what happens to God's people when they're blessed and when they're cursed, when they obey God and when they disobey God. What happens to them as a people, not as individuals, not talking about personal salvation here, but as a nation, as a group. Because that's what we are here. We are a nation. We are a group. Now, certainly we need personal salvation. We need to be saved from our sins individually. We do. But then we need to come together as a people, as a republic. Like the Pledge of Allegiance says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. See, we've lost the ideal of that. We've got July 4th coming up next week. We've lost the ideal in this nation of the republic for which that flag stands. Not a democracy. Not a true democracy. It's a democratic republic. But a republic where there are certain rules and understandings that are just that way. See, in a true democracy, if 51% vote to take everything you have, well, that's the way it is. If 51% in a democracy vote to change Tuesday to Friday, guess what? Tuesday is now Friday. And so we don't have a true, and it's a good thing we don't, continuous and solid democracy like that. No, we have a democratic where our electors, you know, we elect officials to make those decisions. But we have a set of understandings, of rules, of guidelines that we don't go against. Kind of along the lines of we hold these evidence to be, or these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And that, as it's been put here, and it comes from the scriptures, right, that life, liberty, and it used to be property, now it's the pursuit of happiness, and to borrow from the Second Amendment, shall not be infringed. And The laws, statutes, and judgments that this nation was founded on are those from the scriptures. That's the republic that the flag represents. And we've moved away from that when we've moved away from God and His Word. And so, I hope, good Christian brethren, that you're familiar enough with Deuteronomy 28 to tell your Judeo-Christian friends and to point it out to them. The days that we are in. Because they are prophetic days. Has nothing to do with the land of the Israeli over there in the Middle East. Nothing to do with them, but a lot here. Let's try the phone lines. Hey, good evening and welcome to 7 times 70. Hey, let's try that again.
The days that we're in, because they are prophetic days, has nothing to do with the land that the Israeli over there in the Middle East. Nothing to do with them.
Yeah, you gotta get back on the phone with me. Turn the radio down.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I don't hear.
I can hear you. Go ahead, Miss Joanne.
You can hear me.
Yes, Miss Joanne, go ahead.
This is Joanne from Wisconsin, and I just wanted to say, you got to finish that, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
Amen.
And I can't hear anything, so I'm going to hang up.
Okay, I can hear you, Miss Joanne, just fine. Sorry about that. But yes, absolutely. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And again, those are some of the ideals that the nation was founded on, the ideals that come from the scriptures. Now, is it 100% of scripture? No, but it's based on a pretty good bit of it. It's a pretty good base, a pretty good start. But we've turned away from it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. I want to start there. Deuteronomy 28, 15 says, "But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God." It doesn't say if you don't believe. It says if you do not obey. And, you know, that's a big deal. It really is. Because these people believed. But he said, if you do not obey, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now that's Deuteronomy 28:15. When you read the beginning of it, he says, if you obey, these are the blessings you'll get. And that's what the nation was founded on from, you know, the 1620s when the pilgrims came over and the first Thanksgiving. For about 300 years, closer to 400. But it's changed because we have not obeyed the Lord our God. We have not observed to do his commandments. In verse 21 of Deuteronomy 28, verse 21 says, "The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you." Verse 22 says, "The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation." And you know, we have that in our land today. And it doesn't all come from Satan, according to the Word. Because as a people, we think that we've gotten more liberal, right, and more progressive and wiser and smarter in allowing all this sin, which is the transgression of God's law. You can look it up, 1 John 3:4. Let your Judeo-Christian friends make sure they know that. They can probably quote you John 3:16. Well, you quote them 1 John 3:4 and say sin is transgression of God's law. And is there sin today? Yes. Why? Because there's transgression of God's law. Not nailed to the cross, not done away with, not fulfilled and gone. but being broken, and that is the Bible definition of sin. That's not the Judeo-Christian definition of sin. That's not what your TV preachers and TV evangelists are going to tell you what sin is. Oh, sin, brother. Don't you know that all have sinned? But thank God for the grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that's as far as they go. The Word tells us that all Scripture is given for our learning and for our direction and for our correction. And today, the pestilence and the consumption and the fever and the inflammation are rampant. Rampant. I was talking with a sister today, fighting Lyme disease. Her daughter's fighting Lyme disease. And, you know, I don't remember Lyme disease from 20 or 30, 40 years ago. Not at all. Autism. I've mentioned it before. Autism. My oldest son is 34. When he was born, autism, that word, that concept was not in the public consciousness. It was such a rarity. It was just something that I remember when we were having our first few children back, you know, 34, 32, 30, 28, 26, 24 years ago and sooner, that autism wasn't something that you worried about because it just wasn't. And now, they'll tell you, 1 in 34. You better watch out. Test early. 1 in 34 could have autism. Because God keeps his word. Praise the Lord. He does not change. He has not changed from in the beginning, right? John 1:1 tells us that. In the beginning was the Word. Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now that word has not changed. Jesus Christ himself said God does not change. Jesus said he doesn't change. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We got to cross denomination lines here, folks. Okay? It's not that you got to be Church of Christ. It's not that you got to be Catholic. It's not that you got to be whatever. Any of it. You got to be biblical. And if your denomination is not biblical, well, you need to not be that denomination, regardless of what it is. You need to be biblical. And I hope that we can convey this, you and me both, to our Judeo-Christian friends and families that are lost, that are in the middle of a war, and they don't know it. They just don't. Deuteronomy 28, 27 and 28, the Lord says, the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors and the scab and the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you know, folks, those that have eyes to see, we see that there is madness in the land and that there is blindness in our land, and bewilderment of heart. How many times do we say, what has come over these people? What can't they see this? You know, the presidential debate going on right now, and Biden, I don't care who you are, if you cannot see that he is a drugged up, it is absolutely criminal that he is not in an old folks home being treated for Alzheimer's. They have got him so drugged up and hyped up on stuff that you probably can't even imagine, because you can sure tell when he comes off of it and he just bat blah, 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 or he just freezes up. But see, people don't see that. Why not? Well, because the Lord has smited them with blindness. The Lord himself says, if you won't have a love for the truth, what will God do? What will Jesus do if you don't have a love for the truth? He just offers his grace and mercy? Is that what the word says? Or does it say that he will send you a deluding spirit if you won't have a love for the truth? That's what the word says, just like John 3:16. The word. And our people today do not have a love for the truth. We live in the times that good is called evil and evil is called good, and they want to have their ears tickled, and they have heaped upon for themselves, as the Bible says, because we're talking about Bible prophecies that have come true in this land today, because that's what Bible prophecies do. They're about God's people, and they come true on God's people. And God's people today have heaped for themselves their own prophets, their own preachers that tickle their ears, that tell them what they want to hear. Just believe. Just believe. I've told you before, I had a friend tell me that one time. You know, when I accepted Jesus Christ, when I believed on him as my Lord and Savior, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, my life's never been the same. And I said, praise God, brother. Can you show me that in Scripture? I'd like to have that myself. And it got real quiet, and the conversation was over. And I told him, I said, now, I know what Acts 2:38 says. And I said, I've had that same feeling from obeying Acts 2:38, certainly believing and repenting and being baptized for the remission, for the forgiveness of my sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I said, in my life has never been the same since, knowing that I've received that forgiveness, that remission of sin. And that was it. Because the Lord has smited them with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. Pastor Peters pointed out years ago, dialectical materialism. That's a big word. I never understood what that was. I understand. I never knew what it was before Pastor pointed it out. And it's, you know, it's a double-minded people. It's people that when you say up is up and down is up, and they accept both of them. When they read in the Word, where is it? 1 Peter that says, baptism now saves us. And they hear the preacher say, oh, no, baptism, it's just Jesus that saves. And they're driven into a spell. When they read in the Bible that Jesus says the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son, and they say, okay. And then their preacher tells them, except for the Jews, because they're special, they're God's chosen people, even though they deny him. And they go, okay. They have bewilderment of heart from God Almighty because they don't have a love for the truth. Now, you've been there, remnant, and you know what? I've been there. And I guess we probably are still there in certain areas, but thank God we've had a pastor that paid the price to put truth out. And we had God the Father that called us to those truths. And not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus Christ is, we were able to accept those truths. And now we certainly want to share them with others. And that's what we are to do. That's what we are to do. You know, I can remember when it came out that, you know, almost 60% of marriages end in divorce. I remember that. I've been married 37 years, my wife and I, And praise God, He is a good and merciful God. And but I remember that. And now it's less than half. Less than half don't get divorced. So it's flipped over. I remember when it was almost 60% that didn't, and now it's 60% that do. Maybe I got that explained right. I don't know. But again, Deuteronomy 28, verse 30, it says, "You shall betroth the wife, but another man will violate her." And see, it's so strange today for people to think about virgins getting married. When marriage comes, that it's virgins. That is just an unbelievable ideal to most of society today. That's how far we've come. Goes on and says, "You shall build a house, but you won't live in it. You'll plant a vineyard, but you'll not use its fruit." And these verses point out that you'll work, but you won't get the benefit from it. You'll continue to toil. You'll plant the vineyard. You'll work. You'll put forth the effort, but you won't get the return. And how is this happening today? The millions, for one, the millions of illegals that have invaded our nation. And the people are so blind, they don't even want to use the term illegal. But see, back to that republic. See, a republic has laws. And if you want to be a member of that republic, well, guess what? You have to come in and you have to learn the language and learn the customs and learn the history and become a citizen. That's the lawful way to do that, to become a member of the republic, because there's benefits in the republic, probably benefits over any other nation in this world. And that's one of the reasons, certainly, that there's so many that do come to this land, either legally or illegally, because of the benefits, the great benefits that are there. But you know, even those are wearing thin. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 through 61, kind of a summary. Again, God says in verse 58, "If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God." See, you have to be careful to observe these. And you know what? We have not been careful. We have let down our guard as a people. Our fathers, their fathers before them. And I'm talking to you, and I'm looking at myself in the reflection in the mirror or in the window here. All of us, we have not been careful to do this. We have allowed an enemy to come in. And we have fallen to the desires of the flesh, the desires to have our ears tickled, the desires to be told what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. It says, "If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses." And you know, Remnant, we have miserable and chronic sicknesses all throughout the land today. Verse 60 says, "He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed." I'm giving you the verses. You look at them. You can look them up. You don't need to trust me. You look them up and you interpret them. And you look in our society and see if things like cancer have not impacted every family, and infant mortality that is up all across the nation, whether they call it SIDS or whatever. Every sickness and every plague. Oh, we see them. Bacteria-resistant tuberculosis that comes across the border, and measles and mumps outbreaks that don't respond to treatment in these illegal enclaves, or these enclaves of illegals, I guess I should say, which are illegal, and they move throughout our people. How about pancreatic cancer and lung cancer and testicular cancer and breast cancer that are just, well, that's just what happens. It's just a matter of when. That's the mentality today. Our hospitals grow and grow, and they add cancer centers and treatment centers and the children's hospitals. You know, Jason's daughter, Rachel, 17 years old now. What a blessing from God. What a glory that young lady is, and Jason and his family. What a testament to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. But you know, she spent her first few months of life in Children's Hospital down in Denver. It was in downtown Denver. And that's a pretty good drive. But you know, since then, in the 17 years that Rachel, she's 17 years old now. In those 17 years, they built 4 more children's hospitals in Denver. 4 more! In Denver alone! In 17 years. Oh, God, forgive us! And that's just Denver. And it's like that all over the nation. And we think, oh, that's so good that we're able to do that. And it is because the Lord keeps his word. You know, I'm glad that John 3:16 is in the scriptures. I really am. I am so glad that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, that's not the only scripture in the 66 books of the Bible. And you do have to believe. And we should not die believing in him. But that doesn't negate the rest of the book. It doesn't. Deuteronomy 28:33-34 says, a people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You ever see the little tax paper, right? Or the little poem? We've run it in a newsletter over the years, I guess, right? They tax your bread, they tax your bed, they tax this, they tax that. You're taxed on your income, you're taxed on what you spend, you're taxed on what you save, you're taxed when you're born, you're taxed when you die. And verse 34 says, you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. And we see that, and we are living that today. These are biblical prophecies that are coming true that we are living in. Go back and read Judges 6. Read of Gideon, where it says the Midianites would come in and just take and take and take and take and take and take. And when we're introduced to Gideon, what's he doing? He's beating out the wheat in the winepress, right? He's hiding out. He's got his wheat harvest, And he's not over there in the wheat field in the little, whatever you'd call it, almost like a cucumber hut, the little place over by the wheat field, where you'd bring the wheat in and dump it and flail it and beat it out and all that. Because why? Because the Midianites knew about that. And they'd be right there to take it as soon as you got it ready. Because that's what they did. No, he's over in the wine press. See, off season. Oh, well, nothing going on over there because it's not the time for the wine yet. Well, he's doing a little double dipping, right? He's over there trying to get by. And he realized when he talks to the angel of the Lord that's there talking to him, he realized that it was God that had done this. And see, we don't realize that today. The Judeo-Christians in the land do not realize that truth from Gideon that Gideon realized. They do not realize that today. We've read about it in Deuteronomy. They are blinded to it. Deuteronomy 28:47-48 says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You shall serve them in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. That's not from Satan. That's not from the ungodly. Oh, he uses the ungodly. But it's God Almighty that says he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. I didn't write the words. I'm just reminding you of them so that you can hopefully help open the eyes of others in your circle of friends and family and acquaintances that you care about. Deuteronomy 28:63, and I know I'm running out of time here. Deuteronomy 28:63 says, it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you. And you know he did. He delighted over Abram and Abraham, who he changed his name to Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob. And he said, I make my covenant with you because you are the least, you are the fewest, but I'm going to make you the most, the abundant, as stars of the sky, as sands of the sea, innumerable. I'm going to make my covenant with you and your posterity, your seed after you. And the Lord delighted in that. And verse 63 says, it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and to destroy you. The Lord delights in prospering and multiplying for those that obey him. For those that understand that he desires obedience over sacrifice and mercy and grace. That's what he desires. And for those he prospers and multiplies. But he also delights in perishing and destroying his people that will not obey him. You know, Jesus is returning. I think most people agree with that. But you know, the Bible says he is returning apart from the forgiveness of sin. Because he's already done that. He's already made that way. When he returns, it is to bring judgment. The Bible talks about it is to render recompense, that is to reward those for what they've done, good or bad, to judge, good or bad, to rule with his rod of iron. See, when he comes back, it ain't coming. He ain't coming back as a baby in the manger, born of a virgin. Nope, that's not the return. That's the other part of the story. But in that same story, he tells of his return. The Bible tells of it. To render recompense, to render the reward to those that it's due. Good to good and bad to bad. And certainly we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you better do what you have to do to believe, certainly. But to be a doer of this word. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, "So keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." Do the words. Do the words. How about Romans? Got a couple minutes. Let me get there. Romans 6, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And I encourage you to read Romans 5. Read all of Romans. You want to know about the law? Read Romans. Read Romans. Romans 6, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So see, he's talking about somebody that's died. What do you do with a dead person? What do we do? What has Western man, Christians, always done with their dead people? They bury them. And see, even that's changing, but that's off subject. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? You got to keep that in mind. We've died to sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? If you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you have died to that sin. Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, if we've died as he died, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, what if we are not baptized into him? What if we are not baptized into his death? What if we have not been buried with him through baptism? You figure it out. Then we will not share in the glory. We will not be raised as he was raised. It's not rocket science. Keep the words of this covenant, Deuteronomy 29:9 says, so that you may prosper in all that you do. The word was never set up that you had to go to college and you had to go study for 6 or 8 or 10 years and get a doctor of divinity to explain this word. No, the Holy Spirit will do that for you. If you'll obey it. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I'm out of voice. We'll hopefully see you Saturday morning. Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
Story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went through the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then the king. Story about the King of of kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son.